Cleverley's career continued along an all-too-familiar trajectory. World title defences, but against poor opponents.
Kuchemsi, ranked number 11 by the World Boxing Organisation, but has come here with grit and with bravery and cannot match Cleverley for skills, but he is getting through because Cleverley is fighting his kind of fight and not Cleverley's own kind of fight.
Kuchemsi hasn't looked in any sort of trouble at all right through the first seven rounds. He spent a lot of the time covering up so well on the ropes, slipping and sliding, blocking the shots, and cleverly struggling to find a way through.
If this goes to points in this kind of pattern, then it won't say anything more about Nathan Cleverley than we already know.
Good left to the body, left to the head, and now he opens up and Hawk is in trouble, and down he goes. And now Cleverley right on top of him, and Hawk right back where he was. And once again, Hawk in big trouble. Tony Krebs taking a close look. And Hawk takes the knee once again.
So will Nathan Cleverley then prove himself to be one of the better world champions? Steps forward again, does Krasnici. Left, right, the right does get through over the left glove of Nathan Cleverley, who really has to assert his authority here. Krasnici still, though, refusing to take a backward step in this round, as he's done for much of the previous first half of the contest. But Nathan Cleverley will know that if he's to step up in class beyond this, he'll have to find much more than this.
Even a trip to the USA to fight in Los Angeles with the backing of Oscar De La Hoya failed to spark the world's attentions.
America, watching on Showtime, should pay close attention to undefeated WBO light heavyweight world champion with a record of 24-0 and 11 knockouts, Nathan Cleverley.
Belew, meanwhile, had jumped ship from Frank Warren to join the new main man of British boxing, Eddie Hearn. Four wins and a draw later, he was a world title contender again.
Well, we told you about Belew asking the referee, give me a chance. Don't count me out early on. So now he's tasted the canvas, and he's still getting stopped right here. That will do it. Belew was defenseless against Stevenson's left hand, and that was a good stoppage because it saved him from serious damage.
While the Englishman was losing to Adonis Stevenson in Canada, Nathan Cleverley was at home in South Wales contemplating retirement.
Hard right hand, and down goes Cleverley. First knockdown of the fight. And just as we thought Kovalev might be wilting a little bit, he produced another powerful burst. Down again, Cleverley on the canvas for the second time in the round. These are the first two knockdowns of his professional career.
I think he's in bad trouble now. That shot going down the end when he got hit while he was down, hurt by the shot.
Too much. This is too much. And referee Terry O'Connor has stopped the fight. This time it is over, and Sergei Kovalev has a fourth-round TKO, and he made it look easy.
The changes post-defeat were wholesale. The Welshman ditched his father as trainer, promoting fitness coach Darren Wilson to the top job. Then came two changes which would make Saturday's rematch inevitable. He joined Belew in moving up to cruiserweight and signed with Eddie Hearn.
To my left, we're delighted to welcome to the team Nathan Cleverley for a new era. He's a big part of Welsh boxing and a big part of our plans moving forward in Wales. The cruiserweight division is a fantastic division. Nathan's friend, Tony Belew, is obviously looking for that fight, and I know that Nathan's already stated that's a fight he'd be more than willing to have. We've seen how big these huge domestic fights are, and I think Nathan's going to really make a statement on May the 17th in his first fight at cruiserweight.
I wanted it from the first moment the first fight ended. It's as simple as that, and I pleaded and begged for it and was told no, he doesn't want it. But you know, now we're at this stage where he has nowhere else to go. After I jumped ship, he's come over and jumped ship now also. And like I say, he think he knew there was nowhere else to go, and he wants big fights, I want big fights, and us coming together makes the biggest fight possible for the two of us, and I'm looking forward to it happening.
I'm very happy with the way my weight has developed. You know, I'm doing it properly. I'm not just putting on weight for the sake of it and unnecessary weight and body weight. I'm doing it properly. I'm putting on the right muscle mass. Still looking in good shape at the weight. So it's a sign I'm doing it properly. I'm taking my time. But in that time, I've been working hard, training properly, and you know, with a specific weight training, and growing into the cruiserweight division. You know, it's a big jump up in weight. You know, you're talking nearly 2 stone weight difference. So that's a lot of weight. But I'm doing it, but remaining an athlete at the same time.
I don't believe he is a true cruiserweight, but you know, it is what it is. It's as simple as that. I think he needed to tell himself the reasons why he lost, and he needed to convince himself of a reason of how the loss actually happened. And I think the only conclusion he could have come to, instead of just coming out and saying he wasn't good enough, that's why he lost, or he lost to the better guy in the night, it's very similar to what I said after losing to Adonis Stevenson. I was very honest and open. I came out and said I lost to the better guy on the night. You know, I fought the best 175-pound fighter on the planet, and I came up short, whereas he came out and was like, I can still beat this guy, you know, and it's just the weight's got me, and it's nonsense, it really is. You know, just come out and be honest and say what you really feel. But he's created this you know, persona of now that he was killing himself with the weight, when the fact of the matter is he's not.
Two warm-up fights later for both men, and again they clash outside of the ring at the Echo Arena in July of this year.
Still struggling to sell tickets in Wales.
I've already come to this hometown, Bellew's hometown, once. I've already beat this guy. Guess what? I'm going to do it again. And this time, it's going to be emphatic. This time, it's going to be emphatic.
And just one final check on those mobile phones. Okay, we are about to record.
Yeah. Yeah, ready?
Here we go. This is a recording in 5 seconds.
The Sky Sports Studios in Brentford on the 30th of October is where the two fighters spend their longest period together ahead of the fight week. Separate interviews with news channels and online sites are followed up with a joint appearance on the Ringside TV show.
Audience here at Sky Studios, arch enemies Nathan Cleverley and Tony Bellew come face to face.
And we hold it there. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Okay, you can separate your corners. Thanks, guys.
It doesn't get easier, because at the end of the day there's genuine dislike and I can't stand the guy, but it's easier because I'm getting towards the end of the road now, and we're getting closer and closer as the days go on, and like I say, it's just a matter of staying composed, not being riled and wound up, and just being me. You know, if I just be me, I can't see what there is for people to dislike, to be honest. I mean, the only thing I can say about me is I'm a little bit too honest for my own good, which I don't think he is, to be honest. I think everything's... He doesn't say it as he sees it. He doesn't tell the truth. Whereas me, he might not like what I've got to say, but it's what's on my mind and it is what I say.
Everyone, guys. The sport of boxing revels in rivalries. This time last year, we had extreme tension on set between Carl Froch and George Groves.
Given the heated exchanges in the past, security is tight and schedules are planned to keep the men apart until they are needed in the same room.
People think I'm trying to get under the skin, but genuinely and honestly, I'm not. It doesn't bother me if I get under the skin or not, because if the truth be known, it means absolutely nothing. All that matters is that he shows up on November the 22nd at the Echo Arena and gets knocked out. That's all that matters, and that's all I care about. I don't care about scoring points in press conferences, in ringside interviews, in what I'm not. It doesn't interest me. It does nothing for me. All as it does is give people something to talk about. That's all it's really doing. At the end of the day, I just want to fight. That's what I do. That's what I love doing. Deep down, I love fighting. He doesn't. He does it because he has to do it as his job. I do it because I love it. I'd fight for free. I'm not saying I'd train and get ripped apart in the gym every day by Dave. If I was, I wouldn't do that for free. I'm doing that because I get paid. But the actual fight on fight night, I love it. That's me.
It is a part of the business. A big fight needs big exposure. The more promotional work a boxer does, the more pay-per-view money is likely to come in. Conflict and argument between fighters often provides the plot line for the audience to buy into.
Tony, this is Ian. Ian, this is Tony. This is going to be taped under your clothes. It's for behind the ropes. It's not the one you're going to be speaking on.
I'm not going to get to say nothing now soon at all without you here.
That's true, yeah.
It's 3 weeks ago. It's getting intense. I love it. It's an unusual position to sit opposite a guy who, in 3 weeks' time, you're going toe-to-toe with, and you want to inflict as much punishment as you can in front of thousands of people, live on TV. It's a bit of a surreal situation, but it's part of the boxing game, part of the boxing business, and it's something that I embrace, and and I enjoy it.
A long day of commitments draws to a close on a quiet, dimly lit soundstage. There are less than a dozen technical staff on set. The two fighters sit on chairs either side of a two-foot table. If temperatures are going to rise, this will be where it happens.
Everyone happy on the floor, cameras, etc., sound? Can someone just shut that studio door for me? Okay, guys, here we go. This will be a record.
Imagine having an annoying neighbour on your mind every single day for 3 years. You'd want to do something about it. And everybody wonders why I wanted the rematch so bad, because that's the thoughts and feelings I have. And I'll put that to bed on November the 22nd.
This guy's a bully boy. The way he talks, the way he talks down on people, the way he tries to disrespect them, the way he tries to humiliate people with his mouth. Because he's a big stature, 6'3".
After 6 hours of interviews and promotional work, Tony Bellew refuses to shake hands with Nathan Cleverley, and a premature end is called on the day's work.
He refuses a handshake. That just sums him up, you know. That sums him up, you know, no matter of what's been said and the history, and, you know, in terms of respect for opposition, it doesn't hurt a handshake, even though I dislike the guy very much. I would have shook his hand, but he's the one. You know, I'm the bigger man. I would have shaken his hand, but he's the one who's walked off, and that just sums him up.
With 2 weeks to go until fight night, both men are to be found in their natural environment. Bellew at the Caldwell Boxing Gym in Rotherham, leaving his family in Liverpool to avoid the day-to-day distractions.
The first thing he says, when are you coming home, Dad, we miss you and stuff like that. And listen, it's heartbreaking at times, but like I say, it's not as heartbreaking as losing. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. I'll spend a year away if need be. I have to win this fight.
Cleverley, meanwhile, is hitting pads in Aberbargoid's Planet Fitness. Staying rooted to the home comforts has been the main feature of his career. When leaving Enzo Calzaghe's Cwm Cahn base, he relocated to his father's tutelage in a small room above Bargoid Social Club. His third professional gym is in the next-door village, a total distance between them of 5 miles.
We're 2 weeks away from the fight now, so we've got one more good week of training, solid training, and then it's easing down then towards the fight. So we're nearly there now. You know, we're not far off. Ready for one of the biggest fights of my life. I've cut down the running. I've cut down the cardio work because I don't need to burn weight no more. I can do more strength training now because I can build that little bit of extra muscle mass because I'm a cruiserweight fighter. Fighting bigger guys, filling into the weight properly, strengthening up properly. So that's the main change, really. You can lose a little bit on speed, but then you gain on more snap, you know, more strength behind your shot. So it gains up, that balances up. And, you know, it's just the energy level. That's the major difference for me. It's really a dramatic change in energy level.
I always prepare for every fight like it could be my last, because listen, boxing is an unforgiving and very, very brutal sport, and every fight could be your last. That's what you've got to understand at every stage when you go into a boxing ring. What have I done differently? I take the same approach as I do every other fight. I take it very seriously. I prepare myself in camp really well. I'd say this time I've spent more time away from home than usual, but that's a good thing. You know, it allows me to remain focused. My mind's on the job. And like I say, not an hour goes by of every single day where at some point in that hour, he does not enter my mind. Every single day. And it's been like that for 3 years.
In fight week, the two will be forced to sit just yards away from one another to go face to face after they weigh in. While the physical preparation enters its final stages, the mental fine-tuning reaches its peak. Even while being put through his paces so close to the fight, his opponent is never far from Cleverley's thoughts.
I dislike him. I dislike him a lot. You know, I'd say, I can't say hate because I don't want to waste that emotion on someone. It doesn't deserve that, but I dislike him a lot. I dislike the way he looks. I dislike the way he talks, his big mouth.
his attitude. And I need to make him pay on fight night for that.
This is something that's built up for a while. Like I say, we fought the first time. I didn't like him, but I know the difference. I don't like Adonis Stevenson, but I can still say this guy's an amazing fighter. He's the best of the best. I know, you know, how it works, but this has gone far beyond disliking someone. I'll be totally honest, I'd say this is the only fight I've ever gone into in my whole life, and I actually want to hurt someone more than beat them.
The punch bags and the pads are where the skills are honed, where styles are adjusted and improved upon, where the demons of defeat can be put to rest.
I'm definitely over it. I'm definitely over my first career defeat. It was devastation at the time initially, you know, especially being a winner, and then all of a sudden you have a crushing defeat. But as time goes on, you get over it, and as a champion, it's how you come back. And I've come back in a positive way, showed good character, made a few changes. So I'm in a good place now, and maybe it needed to happen. Maybe it needed to happen.
We have a game plan, a really good, solid game plan in mind, and I think it will work. But like I say, talk is cheap and it means nothing really. Everything comes down to November the 22nd and what happens in that ring.
As the two men enter fight week, their rivalry will be thrust to the foreground. Two men who have spent the best part of 3 years on an almost unavoidable collision course, defined as much by one another as by their own achievements.
What do people know about me? Basically, I'm a normal lad, the same as everybody else. I'm no different. The only difference between me and yourself is I punch people in the head for a living, and I don't go to work 9 to 5. That is the only difference between me and everybody else.
I would say, if I was to sum me up, I would say I was a very confident, hard-working individual with a lot of self-belief, who, you know, loves a challenge, but also outside the ring, I'm a very laid-back, affectionate individual.
Both have trained to their maximum. Each has his tactics firmly in place. But holding their nerve in the final days before they meet on Saturday night could be the key to becoming the victor.
It's going to be a 2-0 repeat. I beat him once, I'm going to beat him again in Liverpool. But this time more emphatic, and I plan to break this guy up and get the winning style and silence this guy once and for all.
It's a rivalry, and the rivalry gets put to bed on November the 22nd. It's as simple as that.
Tony Bellew is set on avenging the original defeat. Nathan Cleverley aims to silence his foe once and for all.